Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. Federal officials say all those drones hovering in the night skies over New Jersey and other states aren't a threat, but residents want to know more than that. NJIT School of Applied Engineering and Technology Professor Pramod Abchandani.
They're not like massive, the bigger drones that you see with long-range endurance that usually the military uses.
New York City Mayor Eric Adams says he expects the man accused of killing a healthcare company CEO will be back in Manhattan soon.
He has not waive his extradition yet. We're going to continue to move forward, but he should be, and I will continue to say, be prosecuted here in New York City.
Secretary of State Antony Blinken is in Baghdad on a surprise visit, hoping for a peaceful transition in Syria after the fall of the Assad regime.
And I think this is a moment as well for Iraq to reinforce its own sovereignty as well as its stability, security, and success going forward.
CBS News Brief. I'm Christopher Cruz.
Seth here, host of Over the Back Fence. We're on the air live every Saturday from 11 a.m. to 12 p.m., taking your calls to buy or sell, talk local events, or whatever, only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Melissa Kay. Bird flu is back in Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection found a case of highly pathogenic avian influenza, or HPAI H5N1, in a commercial poultry flock in Barron County. The DATCP and the USDA are working together in response to the incident. Birds will be depopulated to prevent the spread of the disease, and birds from the flock won't be entering the food system. HPAI and H5N1 viruses can be spread by contact with infected birds, commingling with wild birds or their droppings, equipment, or clothing worn by anyone working with the animals. Livestock owners are encouraged to implement strong biosecurity measures to protect their flocks and herds. Poultry owners are asked when possible to keep their birds indoors. Wisconsin has not identified an H5N1 infection in dairy herds in the state at this time. The plan for the most powerful solar farm in the state has received approval. The Public Service Commission approved the Vista Sand Solar Farm. It'll be built in Portage County and will generate nearly 1.3 gigawatts of electricity. This will make it the most powerful in the state and among the most powerful in the country, producing enough clean energy to power about 200,000 Wisconsin homes. A Clean Wisconsin analysis showed the planned Vista Sand Solar Farm will also likely have significant water benefits in Portage County, boosting aquifer levels and reducing contamination. The project will bring community-wide economic benefits, providing $6.5 million to local towns and counties to invest in infrastructure and services. If you're working on your car or snowblower while it's inside, remember, if it burns fuel, it makes carbon monoxide. Make sure you have proper ventilation and use a carbon monoxide alarm. Don't make yourself sick. I'm Melissa Kay for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Brewers trade Devin Williams. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Brewers have traded closing pitcher Devin Williams to the New York Yankees for two players, left-handed pitcher Nestor Cortes and infielder Caleb Dehring. Devin Williams had been named to the All-Star Game and Relief Pitcher of the Year twice, but suffered a blown save in a 4-2 loss to the Mets in the playoffs. Manager Pat Murphy after the game.
You see blips in every pitcher in baseball. It's not anything that doesn't happen to the best of the best. He is one of the best in the game, and it's not anything that doesn't happen to the best.
NFL Packers packing their bags for Seattle to play the Seahawks Sunday night. Defensive back Jaire Alexander will not play, still dealing with a knee injury. The 49ers Devondre Campbell under fire after walking off in the third quarter last night in a game against the Rams, saying he didn't want to play. Campbell was a Packers linebacker last year who said he felt like a big brother to linebacker Quay Walker.
Me and Quay are the exact same person. The exact same person.
How so?
Just personality-wise.
That's Devondre Campbell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Ho-ho, the holidays are here, and it's time to pick a present from the grown-up gift list with Civic Media's statewide text-to-win contest. Listen while you work for the keywords to text for your chance to win $100 cash, an overnight vacation at Chula Vista Resort, and be entered to win one of the grand prizes, a robot vacuum, new luggage, humidifier, espresso machine, and more on the grown-up gift list at civicmedia.us. Just download the Civic Media app and listen weekdays at 7, 11, 1, and 4 for your chance to win in the statewide contest. Ho-ho-ho!
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Mostly cloudy tonight with temps rising through the teens. Snow showers for tomorrow, some sleet and freezing rain possible at times. Highs in the low 30s. The wintry mix ends tomorrow night. Sunday, cloudy, high upper 30s. Currently, we're at 15.
Badger fans, the temperatures may be dropping, but the Big Ten action at the Kohl Center is just heating up. This winter, we've got an action-packed schedule of Badger men's and women's basketball and men's hockey games right here at home. Gather your friends and family, secure your seats, and create lasting memories with us at the Kohl Center. For the full Badger schedule and to purchase your tickets, visit uwbadgers.com or call 1-800-GO-BADGERS. That's uwbadgers.com or 1-800-GO-BADGERS.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Aaron Sommers, so you watched a film called Hot Frosty.
The main character puts a scarf that she does not know is enchanted around this snowman, and he comes to life, and he starts streaking through the town.
Is there any sex in this movie, Aaron?
There is not.
I think they're missing a perfect thing to go with a fetish snowman thing here.
Gotta bet that audience is huge. What's your kink? Snowman.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody. Join us next time as we continue our live coverage from the Seattle area, focusing on the Naval Air Station in Bremerton. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Thursday, December 12th, 2024. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here. Today, we are speaking with our good friends from the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department. We have Chad Schooley with us. Chad, good to see you, as always.
Yeah, thanks.
And we have Dan Volt with us, snowmobile and ATV trails coordinator. Dan, good to have you with us.
Thanks for having me.
Dan, got to be here with us more so I can get that name right, all right? Sure. The more you're here, I'll get it right. Appreciate the time, you guys, and thanks for being here. I certainly want to start out by thanking you guys and everybody working in your team at the Parks and Forestry Department, or certainly with our trail coordinators out there working so hard, especially this time of year where it's go time for you guys. This is the Super Bowl. This is the time of year for you all. Yeah. And that's kind of where we're going to put a lot of our focus today is the trails, is the snowmobile, ATV trail coordinating and some of that. When it comes to this topic, when it comes to this time of year, how is it at the office, Chad? How is it for you guys, the work, the days? What is a day in the life like over there at the Parks and Forestry Department?
Well, it's usually just kind of that transition time, right, between camping and summer warm weather recreation and looking forward to the cold weather recreation. So
yeah,
but we have a lot of projects going on. So in the past, you know, this may have been kind of a slower portion of the year for our office staff specifically, but I've been giving them a lot of work because we have a lot of projects going on.
So yeah,
we're all involved with that. So yeah.
Before we get too deep into this season, just to rewind for a second to last year, where there was no snow. We got some, but it really we were really hit really hard without not getting hit hard by snow and everything. How much did that affect last year affect this year in preparing the trails or doing any of the work that kind of prep that you guys have to do for this season?
Well, every year is a little different, you know, because through the warm season, you know, we have trees that fall, we have different things. But that was one good thing last year with the winter season having very little snow. We were able to get a lot of projects done that we typically wouldn't, because we'd be spending more time at Powers Bluff and on our trail, winter trails, things like that. So that was a blessing in disguise, but we were only open for 2 days last year at Powers Bluff for tubing and skiing. Some of the snowmobile trails, I don't believe, even opened last year.
Correct.
Some of them did. But obviously there's pros and cons of not having a real snowy winter, but I think people in central Wisconsin, us included, We'd like some snow this year.
Yeah, so. Yeah. I have put the order into Mother Nature, our weather team is telling us, she has heard us.
Yeah.
And just as important for us as it is here, certainly up north, and hoping for them to get some snow.
Absolutely.
And everything.
Right.
For so much of the retail and the workers up that way. Dan, I want to jump into a snowmobile and ATV trail program update as well with you and get kind of an update on the trails and the systems, how that's going in these early days of kind of getting ready for all this, for Mother Nature to drop some snow on us.
Yeah, we're in the process. We have 7 clubs, volunteer clubs in the central Wisconsin area. They basically get together They go out, they sign trails, clean trails, brush. A lot of their efforts are reimbursed through the state through a program that we run through the county parks office. They get reimbursed $300 a mile for their efforts. Obviously, that isn't always enough to cover all this, so they do different fundraisers. You got radar runs with the Kellner Knights. Rudolph River Rovers are always got gun raffles. Bakerville's got money raffles. Vesper and that area, they do snow cross with vintage snowmobile sled races and Arpin. They're always doing stuff to kind of help fund, you know, their trail system. And then they're always making it available for all their landowners, because without the landowners, this wouldn't happen. I mean, they're always appreciative to them guys. They throw some gatherings to get people involved, you know, shout outs to their landowners, just as a thank you, because it's a right and a privilege to be able to go on other people's land and enjoy the, you know, scenery and beauty of the county. I mean, without the landowners, it wouldn't work, you know.
To that point, we're happy to every month Sheriff Sean Becker joins us, and Sean and I have talked about this a lot over the years. It's something he's really passionate about, like so many of our individuals, our community members around here love ATVing, love having these trails, but respect so much of these landowners giving up that land to be able to do this, which is always going to remind you to treat these trails with respect. Treat them like you're going to grandma's house for dinner.
Yes.
You know, you don't put your feet on the table at grandma's. Yeah. You sure didn't in my you don't do that. You exactly. Treat it with respect. Treat it like it's your land. Treat it with respect. And we can keep these trails going for many, many years.
And please stay on the trails. That's a big, all the landowners appreciate that. So.
Are there any other things, especially before we're hitting these trails, that kind of remind people of, hey, remember to do this. Remember to keep up on this, everybody. Yeah. Along with some of the stuff we just mentioned there, of course.
Yep. I mean, there's people buy their season passes, you know, the registration, that all helps with the funding to keep everything going. That's things that can be done ahead of time. You know, just getting involved with clubs. You know, if you're interested in snowmobiling, they're always looking for volunteers and fresh backs to help put signs in and do some chainsawing. I mean, you always hear that from clubs. And if you want your trails to succeed, you got to have people willing to go out there. I mean, you get out there on nice days, it's beautiful. It's a good time of year to be out and about. And they're always looking for help.
As long as we're talking about it, I wanted to make sure to get this in here, but sometime in the conversation, another thing that's come up with Sean before and some other of our guests, that these clubs, that we appreciate them and the work that they do and the fun that they create for our communities, they could always use more people. And we're always looking for younger people, especially to get into this sport and have some fun with this activity and everything. It's something that's still doing well. I would say that the industry, all of that is very healthy, but could always use younger people involved in these things. And that's always encouraged. We encourage you to do that and find out more. And I want to send a big, you know, kind of just open call to any of those clubs out there if they ever want to join us on the air here. I'd love to have them on, love to talk with them, love to talk ATVs and more of this stuff with them, and maybe bring a little more members to their clubs. Yes. I think that'd be fun. I did have a quick question for you, Dan, and I just was doing a little prep for the interview here and was thinking about it, and I don't know if I've ever really talked about this with anybody, but we talk a lot about, not a lot, but every once in a while it comes up of a trail going away or somebody taking a trail off the land or reminding people to treat these trails with respect. But what if somebody wants to start a trail? What if somebody has some land and they'd like to, I got some land here. Maybe I want to create a trail or something. Is that even possible? Is that something people can do? Am I asking you a question that's above your pay grade?
No,
I'm joking.
No, but, you know. To be honest, the Rudolph River Rovers just came about with some new miles. We got some really ambitious club members that put a lot of time and effort in that area, and they got, it must be about 12 to 14 miles of what we call unfunded trail that they went out on their own and they established. They got the landowner's permission. They picked areas where there wasn't a lot of tree removal or culverts that had to put in. But with that, to get that $300 a mile funded, we got to go through the state. And right now, because we have had lack of snow throughout our state, that fund is very down there. You know, it's not. We need to have a few good snow years to build that up, because right now the state is not approving new miles, but this club has put new miles out. So it is possible.
Yeah.
You know, and sometimes, you know, we do have landowners once in a while that do back out, unfortunately, for different reasons. You know, sometimes there's change of ownership and they're not snowmobilers, but then we got to go through the process of rerouting. And I mean,
that's a lot.
Yes, it is. You know, sometimes you got it really nice and established. That's why we really have to concentrate on staying on our trails and respecting our landowners, because, again, they're the ones that make it work.
You know? Well said. Well said, Dan. And thank you for all that great information, Dan. Appreciate it, especially what's going on over there in Rudolph. I don't think a lot of us might have known about that. That's what I appreciate that info. I wanted to talk a little bit about the some of the winter recreation opportunities here in Wood County in our Parks and Forestry Department with you, Chad, just a little bit. Got some really fun things in this area that are going on, that are up and coming, and certainly we look forward to. There's a lot of stuff that we kind of know. Hey, this is here almost every year. We look forward to it. We can't wait to get out there. There's always new stuff, too. What are some of the things coming up that we wanted to tell people about?
Yeah, so I think what you're referring to maybe is Powers Bluff, right?
Yeah.
A lot of people are aware of that, but it is surprising when we do open how many people, even in Wood County, have never been to that park you know, that we talk to up there. But so hopefully, you know, we don't make snow up there, but like you said, you have the order in, so we're going to get some snow this winter. Once we get sufficient snow, we will operate up there. Mainly on weekends, Saturday, Sundays, but we do have school groups that do come out during the week and things like that. So snow tubing, snow skiing at Powers Bluff. We also have, talking about volunteers, within the last few years, I've talked about this on the show before, but we've put in multiple miles of trail up at Powers Bluff, additional trail. And we have a really, really dedicated, it's a small group right now, and again, they're looking to grow. We need more hands in that volunteer group, but they basically maintain those trails at this point. You know, we've got 5.5 miles of single-track mountain bike trail. Most of those trails, besides the downhill, which would be a little bit too dangerous in the winter months for grooming and people using it, but most of those miles are actually groomed by this volunteer group for fat tire biking. So that's obviously an increasing up-and-coming sport. You know, it's getting more and more, you know, more and more people are doing that.
My brother's trying to get me into it. Yeah,
okay.
It's definitely getting more and more popular.
Yes. Right, right. In addition to those single track trails, there's also there's also a multi-use trail. So that is actually groomed. It's a wider trail. We set track for cross country skiers. People can snowshoe on that. And then opposite side of the trail, opposite side is set for additional single track mountain biking on that multi-use trail. So, a lot of opportunities at Powers Bluff. Not too far down the road, Richfield 360 County Forest. We have multiple miles of, again, multi-use trail. So it's groomed for those three areas, fat tire biking, snowshoeing, and tracks set for cross-country skiing. So a lot of people, if they're ice fishermen, fisherwomen, they would go out to some of our lakes we've got. So we have access to NEPCO Lake, Lake Wazicha, and Dexter Lake. So we keep those areas plowed out. There's some restrooms at each one of those locations for people to use. So today's great ice-making weather. So hopefully last season, not only did we not have snow, we didn't have real good cold weather for the ice fishermen either. So
We didn't get a chance to really talk about that as much as we certainly talked about the ATV and snowmobilers and that, and certainly deserves the time it did. But I have so many friends. In fact, I think almost every one of my friends ice fish, and they were very upset about that last year.
Yeah.
That is one of those ones there. We're hoping to have that back this year. And another great one to bring up, too. Something to look forward to with some of these great areas that we have coming up. And I also wanted to look at the current and future projects going on over in the Wood County Parks and Forestry Department. And I don't want to, you know, get you in trouble here and have you share something you're not supposed to, but please share something you're not supposed to. There is some great things going on over there, Chad.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we're just finishing up a pretty large project in... I guess, emergency management, which is a department in Wood County. We've been working with them. Primarily, they were kind of the grant writer for this project, and they're going to be utilizing it as well. But it's basically a storm shelter at our Southwood County Park. So it's for that purpose. If you're aware, or if you've been around here for a while, we have pretty frequently had some pretty large storms, mainly around the state water ski show time. Yeah. Seems like July is a pretty popular time.
It does.
And there's a lot of people in that area. And not just that time, but we have a lot of different events that go on in that park. Obviously, the campground as well, the trail that goes around the lake. You know, a lot of large community events are out there. Yeah. So it made sense to have an area where if something's going on, we have a storm event coming through, you know, people can come into that and utilize that. Mm-hmm. But, you know, obviously we're not constantly having storms. So we designed it for the purpose of having it really as a multi-use shelter building. Mm-hmm. It's gonna benefit those that rent the adjacent open shelter. So there's going to be some indoor flush toilets for them to use instead of having to use the vault toilets, a utility sink, kind of a sink for cleaning up, things like that. We also added some countertop and additional electric to that open shelter. So that's going to benefit that shelter as well. Mm-hmm. We haven't come up with the final policies, procedures as far as when the actual storm room or storm shelter can be rented, but it does have heat. It does have air conditioning. So our intention is to actually have that reservable for different events as well. But again, we have to decide when we want to do that. Yeah. Obviously, anyone that would reserve that would also have to open the doors for others to come in, in the event of a large storm event or something like that. So just adding another venue for different people, different events to come into Southwood County Park.
It's a great investment. It's a great investment in our community, in our Parks and Forestry Department. It's another opportunity to make some funds that can help the department, help our community. That's great. I will say, on a personal note, too, it is a great place for a venue. My sister had her wedding out there, the exact spot. Man, it's one of the best weddings we've had in our family. We had a blast out there. It was a wonderful time, and it's a great venue. And then you add this on top of it. There you go. That's even better. So it's a great opportunity, something to keep in mind with the upcoming warmer, you know, wedding season around the corner, some of that, or just events in general, family get-togethers, all of that.
Sure. So that was a large project we're just finishing up. And again, we don't have it on our reservation site yet. Mm-hmm. We still have to finalize what those, you know, what the policies are going to be and procedures and things like that. Another project that we're working on currently is we're building a new maintenance shop up at Powers Bluff. So if people that are aware are familiar with the park, there is a existing maintenance shop up on top of the hill in the area of the shelter building, top of the tubing hill area, things like that. So it's adjacent to the communication tower that's up there. Next year, that shop we plan on removing, and we would then have our operations at the base of the hill off of Highway N to the north. So not really a facility for park users per se, but just more internal operations. It's going to really improve things on our end.
Yeah, and it's going to help users, going to help people using that park, whether they realize it or not. It's certainly going to help you guys do your work. That's really cool to hear. That's great to hear.
Yeah, so again, a lot of things going on at Powers Bluff. The highway department that we oftentimes work with, they do a lot of work for us because of our projects that we have going on. They just finished up recently doing the site prep for what is going to be the future trailhead shelter building. Hmm. So all these trails that were put in, you know, the long-range plan was to basically have a trailhead shelter for trail users year-round, but also have an enclosed area again for the purpose of having different community events, things like that. What's kind of exciting, still in the talks phase, but we are looking at, again, with those volunteer group up there, the Trails group, of actually hosting a couple larger biking events next summer already.
Cool.
And that really was the intention when we started designing and building these trails, was not only to have it for the general public, but also to have facilities, trails, things like that, that could host these larger events, which obviously bring a lot of people into our communities, whether they're going to be, you know, camping in our campgrounds or staying in Wisconsin Rapids or Marshfield hotels. You know, a couple of these events that we're talking about, they bring in, you know, over 1,000 people for these events.
Yeah, so these are revenue builders.
They got to stay somewhere, right?
Yeah,
Eat somewhere and all that good stuff. So we're excited about that.
And, Chad, before we wrap up, I did want to mention there's also a great, a cool opportunity happening at Sarah Park.
Yes. So, basically next Tuesday is the county board, and at that county board meeting, they are going to consider and possibly vote on taking over management, and potentially within the next few years, taking over ownership of that park. So a lot of the listeners out here, I'm sure, are familiar with Sarah Park. You know, its history kind of stems from the paper mills and employees of those mills, and it's kind of evolved over the years where the last multiple years it has been open to the general public as well. But it's a pretty exciting opportunity for us. The owners of the property, Quipco, or Consolidated Water Power Company, approached myself, approached Wood County, just to kind of see if we would consider taking over the management of that. And I kind of ran up the flagpole, and there was a lot of support from my committee and other county board members. So stay tuned. You know, it's whenever you take over, this is my first go around with taking over an existing property and facilities and things like that. There's a lot of unknowns as far as, you know, condition of property, equipment, all that good stuff. So be patient, but I'm very confident if this goes through, we're going to get it up to snuff, up to our standards, very quality campground and park and shelter facilities moving into the future. So next year being our 90th year,
wow,
it's kind of a cool thing. We would start that lease essentially as of January 1st. And hopefully for the next, I don't know, 100 years, we'll have another park in the system and really have a quality place for people to go. So
you can tell Chad how good Chad is at this. He waited to the end to drop that one. That's a big one. That's a big story right there. Well done, sir. But first off, really does give some good, I would say, a really good vibe to it with them reaching out first. That's certainly a good sign, and that certainly is something. You don't see that every day with that. Mm-hmm. That's an interesting part of this. But the revenue building that can be, the different thing that could be for communities and stuff. I've heard nothing but good things about that park since I've lived out here and everything. So the idea of it being even more accessible to people, or being even maybe brought up more or something, there's nothing but positives from my angle on this one. It's really cool to hear. Thank you for sharing that, Chad.
Yes.
That's really interesting.
We're excited. You know, it definitely adds work to our already full workload, but We'll get her done. So,
as we're getting done here, we'll talk more about this story, of course, next time you join us and everything. And please keep us in mind when you get some news on that one. But we do want to remind everybody as well that our Wood County Parks and Forestry Department have gift certificates available. It's a great gift for somebody. Keep that in mind this holiday season. And certainly wanted people to be able to reach out to you guys for questions if they had any follow-up questions. So, Dan, if people want to reach out to you, how can they get in touch with you and find out more?
Well, you can always call the Wood County Parks office. They usually route them to either Chad or I, you know, for any questions. We keep each other informed if one knows more about something than the other, for the most part. So if somebody's out of the office, somebody's available. And
sure.
I mean, Parks number is 421-8422. I mean,
yeah. And that is the Rapids number. Keep that in mind. We, of course, our Wood County Parks and Forestry Department covers Marshfield, Pittsville, and Auburndale. So if you're living in one of those areas, it's going to have a different number. You can find that number at woodcountywi.gov, woodcountywi.gov. Otherwise, give them a call at 715-421-8400, 421-8400. And be sure to follow them on social media. Great way to keep up to date on things that are going on over there. Get yourself one of those gift certificates. Volunteer with some of the activities going on over there. And help our friends over at the Parks and Forestry Forestry Department. Thanks for joining us, guys. Appreciate the time.
All right. Thanks for having us.
We'll be back with more Midday Magazine right here on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR.
Did you know that our Pet of the Week show on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR has helped over 100 animals find their forever homes by connecting with listeners? This is only made possible due to local area businesses, and we hope to help 100 more. Listen to 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR Pet of the Week on Thursdays at 9 a.m. and find that special friend you've been looking for, or learn how you can help with current needs. Made possible by sponsors like you, who help keep this program running for all of the animals in this community.
There's danger out there. It lurks on highways and quiet neighborhood streets. It's more likely to kill you than a shark, and more terrifying than the biggest snake. Distracted driving claims lives
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
We got something going here in Madison. Power play goal, Simon Tassie. 2-1 Wisconsin. Stops one and another again to his left. Scores. Oh, he ripped that one over the glove hand. William Grima, like an octopus in a broom closet.
We are America's college hockey capital.
The relentless, resilient Red with another come-from-behind win.
Badger Hockey is brought to you by American Family Insurance. Insure carefully. Dream fearlessly. And by Alliant Energy. Alliant Energy is powering beyond for you. Welcome to the Badger Pregame Show.
Hey, hockey fans from Yost Arena in Ann Arbor, Michigan, welcome to Wisconsin Badger Hockey. Tonight, the Badgers open a two-game series against the eighth-ranked Michigan Wolverines. Adam Morrison's our producer at our Learfield studios in Jefferson City, Missouri. Paul Capobianco from UW Athletic Brand Communications alongside. I'm Brian Posick. Well, it's the final weekend of the first semester. The Badgers are 6-9-1 under second-year head coach Mike Hastings. 4-6 in the Big Ten, good for second place. 8 points behind league-leading Minnesota. The Badgers coming off a four-point weekend at the Kohl Center, where they beat top-ranked Michigan State 4-0 last Friday, then a 3-2 overtime loss. But, Paul, the Badgers are 4-1-1 in their last six after that really disappointing and at times dreadful 2-8 start.
Yeah, I mean, you look back during that first 10 game stretch and it looked like felt like the Badgers are playing well. They just weren't getting results. And the last six games, they've gotten some results. Like you said, 4-1-1. It starts probably with the offense. Wisconsin, 25 goals in that last six games. They had 18 in the first 10. And even on defense, they've only allowed 12 goals in the last six, which is 2 goals a game. And before that, they had 30 in the first 10, which is 3 goals a game. That's pretty easy math. Score more and let up less, you're going to win some more games. But you go right down the line, like shot percentage, almost 13% in the last six games. Before it was 7%, and it started out even way worse than that in the first group. Penalty kill, you're looking for areas to improve. That's still been a struggle, but Wisconsin's kind of solved that problem, sort of, by just not taking penalties.
Right.
Only had to kill 4 in the last 4 games and 11 in the last 6. So that's been good. The power play has been scoring lately, 4 the last 5 games, 6 in the last 18 attempts. And going back to the offense, there's 12 guys have scored in the last 6 games. Only 8 guys scored goals in the first 10, and that was a big, huge focus about the Badgers not having any depth scoring. It was a one-line team that couldn't score. In the last 6 games or so, there's been a lot more contributions from different people, Tyson Dick, Christian Fitzgerald. You go down the line, Owen Mellenbacher, and there's many more names like that.
Yeah. When you think of Michigan, you generally think of offense. The Wolverines under third-year coach Brandon Norato are 10-5-1, 4-2 in the Big Ten, currently tied for fourth place. But they got shut out twice last weekend at Minnesota, 6-0 and 2-0. It was the first time in 80 years that Michigan had been shut out in back-to-back games. I'm guessing that they probably will find the back of the net at some point this weekend, but Tommy Scarfone, Wisconsin senior goaltender, is playing at his best since joining the team as a transfer from RIT. He's been on a nice roll.
Yeah, I mean, he fits right in with all those other numbers. He's 4-1-1 in the last 6, 5-1-1 in the last 7 starts, 1.95 save, goals against, 9.28 save percentage. He had that shutout last weekend, his 10th in his career and his 100th game played and his 60th career win. Kind of a fun, nice night to have. But yeah, the Big Ten's first star of the week. He's just been solid for the Badgers. He's kind of come in a little bit adjusting, get used to things. Again, Wisconsin, all of that first 10 games was kind of like that for everybody, and he seems to have kind of hit his stride here. Got a little dinged up in a practice one day, and since then he's been pretty darn good since he's been in the lineup.
Yeah, Big Ten hockey a little bit different than Atlantic hockey. Big Ten hockey a little bit different than CCHA hockey, where Michigan's starting goaltender tonight, Logan Stein, started his career at Ferris State. It's the Badgers and the Wolverines. We'll hear from head coach Mike Hastings when we come back. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The excitement.
Oh, he stones Brodzinski with a glove save.
The energy.
What's he going to do? He shoots and he scores.
The tradition.
You've got to understand history if you're ever going to write your own.
It's everything.
He scores. Badgers answer right back.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Sponsored by Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep, Econ Electric, and 8th Street Auto. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, streaming live and on the Civic Media app.
Shh. Want to hear a secret? But you have to keep it between us. The Wisconsin Broadcasters Association is currently accepting nominations for the WBA Hall of Fame. We would like your help in nominating one of our community's best, Chuck Gennaro. Here's where you come in. If you or someone you know was directly affected by the work Chuck has been doing during his 30-plus years with WFHR, send an email describing the reasons you want to nominate Chuck to Laura Berg, LaurA.Berg at civicmedia.us. Thank you for keeping this our little secret.
Be prepared for the next power outage with a Generac home standby generator from Econ Electric. When the power goes out, your life can't go on without interruption. It's getting cold outside. Get powered back up with Generac generators and protect against Wisconsin's unpredictable weather. Call 715-423-8440 for Econ Electric. Terms and conditions apply. See your Econ Electric technician today for more information. Sleep with ease knowing you are protected by Econ Electric and Generac generators.
Are you struggling this year with gift ideas for your loved ones? You want to find them something that shows you care and also something they'll love? Let this year be a little different when you let Johnson's Chrysler Jeep come to the rescue with all its service center has to offer. This year, get them a new set of tires, maybe an oil change pack, or a vehicle upgrade. Give them something they'll use every day and save yourself all the hassle. Call the Johnson's Chrysler Jeep Service Center today and make this Christmas one to remember. Merry Christmas and Happy Holidays from their team to yours.
When it comes to advertising, the landscape gets more and more confusing every day. As a business owner, you've got dozens of choices on how to spread your message. At Civic Media, our goal is to help you unclutter that landscape. For 100 years, radio has successfully delivered customers to the doors of local businesses because we're local too. Local news, local topics, and local people that care about the places we broadcast. That gives your message credibility, and that's key when it comes to getting your message in the ears of the right people. Learn more about how this Civic Media station can help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us and click on sponsorship. From right here in our town to across the entire state of Wisconsin, we'll get the right message to the right people at the right time. And you'll be surprised how effective and budget-friendly radio advertising can be. Again, log on to civicmedia.com and click on sponsorship. We'll have a talk and help you craft the message that works for the people that you want to reach.
Here at Yost Arena in Ann Arbor, Michigan, Wisconsin and Michigan open a two-game series here tonight to close out the first semester of play. Head coach Mike Hastings joins us. And, you know, Mike, it is the final weekend. It's flown by here. But we have seen your team make some progress here in recent weeks, and I know you're happy about that.
Yeah, we needed to from the wins and loss standpoint and then really just growing as a group. And over the last month, we've started to get some secondary scoring. When we get that and get solid goaltending, we're putting ourselves in positions to win hockey games. And this group has been good on the road up until this point, so I'm excited to see what we'll see tonight.
3-1 on the road in Big Ten play so far. You know, offensively, we're seeing progress made in that regard too, but it was fun watching practice this week, Monday, a lot of fundamentals and skills and what have you, and working on getting more pucks and bodies to the net because that's where you score most of your goals.
Yeah, and you're going to see, I think, tonight, you know, Michigan's got a heightened awareness. They didn't score last weekend. So, you know, for us, there's two sides of this coin. I think we've got to be really good through the guts of the ice coming back into our end and make them have to go through us consistently. But on the other end, the best defense is possessing the puck. and holding on to it. So we're going to have some guys make some plays on our entries, and then once we get in, be hard and heavy and make sure we protect the puck and keep the puck on our tape and try and slow down their transition game.
Talking about entries, also something else you worked on this week was your exits from your own zone, because that can cause issues. Blue line turnovers can come back and bite you.
Yep, and the guys, like I said, and you brought it up, when we're the best version of ourselves, it's when we're tight, where there's a group of five in our zone coming out of our zone together, neutral zone, a group of five, and when we enter into that offensive zone, we've got support and give our puck carrier options. And so it's going to be a battle, I think, in between the hash marks and the paint on both ends, because they're going to be coming hard, and we have to do the same thing on their end.
Badgers and the Michigan Wolverines, more with Mike Hastings coming up. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
The big game, family, friends. We know you count on Alliant Energy to deliver the safe, reliable energy you need, whether you're watching the game, cooking your famous burgers, or leaving a light on for loved ones. For us, it means going beyond the expected to make sure we're planning for the energy you need today and tomorrow. That way you can keep your eye on the ball and focus on what's most important to you. Find out more at AlliantEnergy.com/poweringbeyond.
Hi, Mark and Sarah Tauscher here. We are teaming up with American Family Insurance for yet another season of giving.
Together, we're raising funds for American Family Children's Hospital Virtual Toy Drive. Every dollar goes towards purchasing therapeutic play supplies for pediatric patients.
This year, American Family Insurance is matching all donations up to $50,000. So help us support this critical program for children and their families.
Let's gift joy, lift spirits, and deliver happiness.
Learn more at amfamforkids.org.
Hey there, Badger fans. It's Owen Lindmark, center from Wisconsin Men's Hockey. We're ready to amp up our game this season, and we want you in our corner. You can contribute to our path to championships both on and off the ice. As a member, you'll gain access to exclusive experiences, behind-the-scenes insights, and unique opportunities to connect with student-athletes like never before. VC Connect has tunnel vision on victory. Do you? Head over to vcconnectwi.com today and become a key player in our winning community.
Calling all Badger hockey fans. The Wisconsin Badgers and Covers are announcing the return of the Kid of the Game promotion. Visit uwbadgers.com/CoversZamboni and register your child for a chance to be the Covers Kid of the Game at a UW men's hockey game. At each Wisconsin home game, one lucky winner will receive 4 game tickets, the Covers gift pack, and get to ride the Zamboni between periods. Covers, proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics. Valid for kids age 8 to 14, no purchase necessary. Void where prohibited.
Wisconsin and Michigan coming up. The number one star in the Big Ten last week, Tommy Scarfone, in goal for Mike Hastings' squad here again tonight. And boy, Tommy, he's kind of found his groove a little bit.
Yeah, we need him too, and you've seen that, you know, correlate for us having a bit more success, because more often than not here over the last month, he stopped the ones that he shouldn't, a couple that he shouldn't, and that's what you need to have. We didn't have that earlier in the season. We're getting it now, and I think it's allowing the rest of our team to play with some confidence.
Plenty of people have asked me throughout the year what's happened with Wisconsin hockey. There were times where the puck wasn't going in the net, and then you played so many one-goal games and overtime games. I think we're going to see that the rest of this season, though, don't you?
Yeah, we're not as prolific as we'd want to be offensively. We're growing that way, and when you don't score a lot, you're going to be in tight games. So, you know, our DNA has to be that we're okay and comfortable in those, and as the season has progressed, we've had more success in those types of games. It didn't work that way on Saturday, but I thought on Friday you saw us, you know, we got out to a lead, we're able to extend the lead and maintain that lead and grew on it throughout the game. And so we've got to go back to being what we are tonight and getting off to a good start in the first 10 minutes.
Unfortunately, Joe Palatichuk did not make the trip. He got banged up against Michigan State. He had just returned to, and he gives so much to your lineup.
He does energy-wise. He does, you know, back, whether it's in the locker room or on that end of the bench, the young man just plays with such a confidence. And you and I have discussed multiple times about what he brings. I thought he was really good getting back into the lineup on Friday, and we'll miss him. But I do believe that this will be more short-term than long-term. And so hopefully he can get some rest back when he's at home this weekend and then get home to see some special people, his family, and be ready when we get back.
Ryan Botterill's getting close too.
He is. He's really close. I think he, you know, he's kind of the proverbial day to day for us right now. And I think it's been going in a really good direction. Andy Rohde's done a really good job with making sure that we're putting him in a spot to be successful. And I like the direction it is right now.
Finally for you, you brought up Michigan before. This is a team that's been difficult to gauge. I mean, they swept Boston University. They put a lot of goals on the board. And then a Minnesota team, not known for its defense generally, shuts them out twice. So how do you gauge this Wolverine squad?
You know what? They're going to be a little miffed on what happened the last weekend. But for our focus this week, it's been about our details and being real aggressive offensively and defensively. The one thing that happens in this building is I'll go back to the experience last year on Saturday, and I think there were 7 goals scored in the first period. I hadn't had that happen in a long time. And so things can happen in a hurry, and old momentum can swing in this building within a shift or two. So, you know, going out and being consistent, we cannot create their offense, whether it is going to the box or poor puck management. And then stay as connected and defend the way that we need to, but then have a little bit of swagger offensively when we get it.
That's head coach Mike Hastings. Wisconsin and Michigan on the way. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
I was proud to be a soldier.
I told the truth and got kicked out.
And so I thought to myself, I'm taking this rule down.
If you're an LGBTQ plus veteran, your memories are important too. Share your story with the Library of Congress Veterans History Project, where firsthand accounts from U.S. military veterans are preserved and made accessible for researchers and future generations. Visit loc.gov/vets to submit your stories, photographs, and documents today.
Thanks for listening to this Civic Media Station. You're one of thousands of people tuned in right now, whether on the radio, the app, the podcast, or stream. Audio is the number one source of information and entertainment among adults in the U.S. If you own a business or you're in charge of growing a business, this is a key fact, and you should know how it can work for you. That's where we come in. At Civic Media, our local radio stations influence local people, the same people who shop and buy at your place. Now we also reach those same customers wherever they are in the digital world as well. From podcasts to streaming to apps, laptops, and smartphones, our digital advertising capabilities ensure that we deliver the right message to the right people at the right time. And with our state-of-the-art measurement systems, we can prove it. Schedule a short meeting to learn how we can partner locally to help your business thrive. Go to civicmedia.us. Click on sponsorship. You'll hear back within 24 hours.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. We reported recently on the impact of Shelby County versus Holder, the U.S. Supreme Court's decision invalidating Section 5 of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Anticipating even more erosion of the VRA, some states have passed their own state VRAs. It's not only the dismantling of Section 5, the preclearance requirements for states with a history of discrimination. The conservative justices also made proving racial gerrymandering harder under Section 2, and they've made it easier for a state legislature to dilute minority voting power. And in the lower courts, more cases attempting to keep individual voters from bringing voting rights lawsuits under the VRA are pending. With dwindling protections from the federal government, California, Washington, Oregon, Virginia, New York, Connecticut, and Minnesota have enacted state VRAs. Michigan, Maryland, New Jersey, and Florida have efforts underway. The NAACP Legal Defense Fund recommends that state VRAs should have preclearance requirements for municipalities which have patterns of discrimination. Rules should include a prohibition against vote denial or dilution through gerrymandering, strong protections against intimidation or deception, language assistance, a statewide database to make evidence-based decisions on election administration, and a directive to the state judiciary to support pro-voter and pro-democracy decisions. We have the recommendations at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Is this real leather?
...174th meeting all-time between Wisconsin and Michigan. The Wolverines lead the all-time series. 90 wins, 69 losses, 14 ties. But since the modern era, 1963, the Badgers only 3 games under 500. However, in Big Ten play, Michigan leads the series 27 wins, 16 losses, and three ties. Wisconsin a year ago won 3 of 4 against the Wolverines and split here at Yost Arena, lost 5-1 on the opening night, and then, Paul, one of the wildest games you'll ever see, a 6-5 Wisconsin win. The Badgers were down 1-0, rallied to take the lead in the first period, then went down 3-2 in the first period. Matthew D. St. Foul tied it at 3, still in the first period. Michigan then took a 4-3 lead after 1. Wisconsin tied it in the second on Simon Tassie's power play goal. Michigan regained the lead early in the third before Owen Mellenbacher tied it with about 8 minutes to play, and then Christian Fitzgerald won it a minute into overtime. That was crazy. Now, this Michigan team, again, this is the third year as Brandon Arado as head coach, replacing Mel Pearson, and he's led the Maize and Blue to back-to-back Frozen Fours. Very impressive. Last year, 23 wins, 15 losses, 3 ties. Finished 4th in the Big Ten, but then in the NCAA, beat North Dakota 4-3. Beat Michigan State 5-2 before losing to Boston College 4-0 in the Frozen Four in St. Paul. And the Wolverines lost a boatload of offense, 56% of their goal scoring. Rutger McGroarty, Big Ten Player of the Year, Gavin Brindley, Dylan Duke, Frank Nazer, and the Defensive Player of the Year in the Big Ten, Seamus Casey, have all departed. But they returned some pretty good players and actually added a heck of a freshman in Michael Hage, a first-round draft choice of the Montreal Canadiens. He leads the country in scoring among freshmen with 17 points. He's only played 13 games, didn't play last weekend at Minnesota because of an injury. They also have T.J. Hughes, 4 points shy of 100, one of the most underrated or unheralded players in the Big Ten. Garrett Shifsky, he's shifty. He's got 3 shorthanded goals of his 6 goals this season. They also have a young man who transferred from Colorado College, Evan Warner, their second leading scorer, but he's ineligible to play tonight. He received a 1-game suspension last Saturday for cross-checking Jimmy Snuggerud of Minnesota into the board, so Warner's out. And they have a familiar face also in the lineup, William Whitelaw, who had 10 goals as a freshman at Wisconsin a year ago. They still have firepower sprinkled in for sure.
Yeah, you are right, though. Like the big-time names that they've had in recent 5, 6, 7, 10 years even seem to be on there. But Michael Hage has been outstanding for them. He's been kind of their wonder kid. And their defense, I mean, you go back there to Ethan Edwards is a guy who's been around for a while for them, and he's pretty good on the defensive end. And they don't have a Hughes defenseman anymore. They've had those for a few years, too, but he's been pretty solid. And I'm sure they're trying to figure out their goaltending a little bit with Ferris State transfer and a freshman who's a pretty large man from down the block in South Lyon, Michigan. So the team looks a little different, but obviously their results are 10-5-1 right now. They've had some big wins, like you mentioned, BU sweep, and Brandon Arado took over from a legend. Well, sort of.
Took over for a man who replaced a legend.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, yes.
But had great success, and he just kind of continued it on here at Michigan, and like he's 2 Frozen Fours, back-to-back years, that's really hard to do. And that's incredible consistency, and he's now building his own way.
Yep. Michigan started the season by splitting at home here against Minnesota State, then a win and a tie against Arizona State, a split with St. Cloud State before winning 6 in a row. That included a 2-game sweep at BU. But now the Wolverines have lost 3 of their last 4. They split with Western Michigan a couple of weeks ago and again got shut out twice last weekend at Mariucci Arena. Wisconsin and Michigan will set the lineups next. This is Badger Hockey from Learfield.
Hey, Badger fans. You want your family to be warm and comfortable during the brutal Wisconsin winters, right? That's why it's good to know the knowledgeable, friendly dealers at Bryan Heating and Cooling, who will do whatever it takes to keep your furnace running efficiently, no matter what the weather throws at you. Plus, score up to $2,600 in tax credits on qualifying Bryan systems and ask about local rebates and financing for qualified buyers. Find your local dealer at Bryant.com. That's Bryant.com. Proud partner of Wisconsin Athletics.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison, home of the Big Win and Madison Casino Guru, is transforming guests into winners. Making an ordinary day into a big win day is easy with a 95% average payout. And with over 140 daily jackpots, the number of people winning has never been bigger. So what are you waiting for? Escape to Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison for your next big win.
Ho-Chunk Gaming Madison.
On the football field, the skilled players get paid the most. The same is true in construction. Some of the most skilled players building our roads, solar farms, and stadiums are the men and women of the Wisconsin Operating Engineers. If you're ready to step up to a job where you can earn more without college debt and operate equipment like cranes, excavators, bulldozers, and drones, you're ready to join our team today at join139.com.
Coors Light presents To Chill or Not To Chill. When your friend skips your favorite song on the playlist. End the friendship. Or choose chill because that song lives rent-free in your head anyway. And you planned ahead by bringing Coors Light to the party. And the sound of that ice-cold can cracking open was music to your ears already. Coors Light. Choose chill. Celebrate responsibly. 2024 Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
Wisconsin's played more Big Ten games than anybody else in the league. Minnesota is 8-0 atop the conference. Badgers 4-6, 15 points, 8 off the pace. Michigan State 5-1 with 14 points. Michigan and Ohio State tied for fourth at 4-2 with 11 points. Notre Dame is 1-7 in the league, only 3 points. And Penn State 0-8 in conference play, only 1 point. Nittany Lions did win a non-conference game against Army at the Capital Hockey Classic in Washington, D.C. last night, 4-1. And elsewhere in the Big Ten tonight, 11th-ranked Ohio State is home against Notre Dame. I should correct myself. Ohio State is ranked 15th in the country. And the big series in college hockey has third-ranked Michigan State at the new number one team in the land, Minnesota. That should be fun to follow while we're calling these games here this weekend.
Yeah, for sure. And this, you talk about this weekend with Michigan coming in with no goals scored. Well, Michigan State lost the series last week to Wisconsin, and Minnesota had a heck of a time against Michigan. So it's a little swap of the teams, and top five matchup is pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, I can't wait to see what the results are there. Before we continue, let's pause 10 seconds for station identification, 10 seconds for legal ID. You're listening to Wisconsin Badger Hockey.
This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Let's get to the injury update brought to you by UW Health Sports Medicine. Treating the Badgers, treating you, as Mike Hastings touched on in the pregame show. Sophomore defenseman Joe Polatichuk did not make the trip. He got banged up against Michigan State after he had just returned following a 7-game absence. Joe hoping to be ready for the Quick Trip holiday faceoff in Milwaukee later this month. Simon Tassie still nursing a lower body injury. He hopes to be ready for Milwaukee, but we'll have to kind of wait and see. Ryan Botterill, the freshman forward, whose dad's cousin Jason was a star here at Michigan. Ryan still out of the lineup with an upper body injury, but he's hoping maybe he could go tomorrow. And healthy scratches tonight, defenseman Weston Knox and goaltender Anton Castro. The Quick Trip lineups for you. We'll start with Michigan in goal. Logan Stein, 6'3", graduate student. The Ferris State transfer is 6-3 this season with a .296 goals against average and .897 save percentage. Stein gave up 6 goals on 31 shots in 40 minutes in his last start, a 6-0 loss at Minnesota a week ago tonight. In Big Ten play, Stein has a 3-1 record, but a .408 goals against average and an .864 save percentage. Starting defenseman, alternate captain Ethan Edwards, the senior from St. Albert, Alberta, a goal and 6 points for a young man who's played 110 games for Michigan. And freshman Dakota Rayom Mullen, the son of Manon Rayom, the first woman to play professional hockey. Dakota Rayom Mullen, a freshman from Northville, Michigan, 4 assists in 16 games played so far. And starting up front for Brandon Nerado's squad, the centerman is T.J. Hughes, junior from Hamilton, Ontario. 4 points from 100. He's got 5 goals and 12 points this season, although 3 of Hughes' goals came in a hat trick earlier this season. Also, Jason Hallam, who missed most of last year with a knee injury, actually injured against the Badgers at the Kohl Center. He's a junior from Eagan, Minnesota, 5 goals, 8 points in 16 games. And the right winger, the junior from Bloomfield Hills, Michigan. His dad, Chris, was a multi-Stanley Cup champion with the Red Wings. Keenan Draper, 2 goals so far for him this season. As for the Wisconsin Badgers, Tommy Scarfone in goal, the senior from Montreal, 5-1-1 over his last seven games. His record is 5-5-1 with a .224 goals against, a .911 save percentage, and one shutout. Starting defenseman, Ben Dexheimer from Edina, Minnesota, the 5'10 junior, has eight assists, no goals yet this season. Zach Scholes, the sophomore from nearby South Lyon, Michigan, also in the lineup, two assists in the eight games he's played this season. And Mike Hastings, Paul, is going with his second line to start. Christian Fitzgerald, the six-footer from Coquitlam, is 2-5-7. That's his scoring line, but he's got two goals and 5 points in his last five games. Can see that things are clicking a little bit with him, and that combination with Cody Laskowski on the left wing and Kyle Kukinen on the right wing gives Wisconsin that complementary scoring, if you will, or secondary scoring.
Yeah, I mean, Christian Fitzgerald, obviously you see the skill he has, and it really helps that Cody Laskowski has kind of got going. He's been a goal scorer in his past at RIT. We talked about Scarfone taking some time to get used to things. Cody Laskowski, for sure, there are times early here we weren't sure what was going to happen there with him, but he's come along, got some goals, got some confidence, and we've seen Kyle Kukinen kind of contribute every once in a while with some goals, penalty shots, things like that.
Yep, Kukinen, 4 goals, 9 points for the junior from Maple Grove, Minnesota. Laskowski has 3 goals and 4 points in his last six games, the fifth-year forward from Camrose, Alberta. We will hear a lot of Quinn Finley, Gavin Morrissey, Rylan Mosley, left to right, the third line of Owen Mellenbacher, Owen Lindmark, and Jack Horbach, the fourth line of Tyson Dick, Sawyer Scholl, and Adam Pietola. Luke Buss, the freshman from Columbus, Ohio, the extra forward here tonight. The other D pair is Daniel Lodge with Logan Hensler, Jack Phelan.